Before I begin, actually, as you can see, the title of my message is God, His Law, and His People. Before I begin, let me pray. Heavenly Father, please, please, inspire your son, trying to preach this message that you entrusted him. Bless your church, forgive our sins, and allow your Holy Spirit to walk through the aisles, the benches, and bless every one of us. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. Amen. All right. God, His law, and His people. Let's read. We're going to read almost the whole chapter, Exodus chapter 19. And we're going to try to extract a great message for today. This sermon may have two parts. Hopefully soon I will be granted the opportunity to deliver part two. I hope you have your Bible with you. If you don't have it, we still have the text or the verses on the screen. Exodus chapter 19 from verse 3 for now. It says, "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel." In this verse, we see that God made Moses a messenger unto the Israelite people. And God said unto Moses, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, says the Lord." This verse says the same thing that Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 1 says. It read, "It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." As you can see in these verses, there is a if, and then there is a then. If marks what? A condition. Then shows that if you do something, then I will do something. There's a promise taking place right here. If you come to church, I will bless you. You will be blessed unless you... Let me repeat it. If you come to church, I will bless you. That means you will be blessed if you come to church. The promise is based upon your obedience, upon you coming to church. You don't come to church, you're not blessed. Let me read over. "If you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." I want to recall you that treasure, peculiar treasure. God doesn't say just treasure. He said peculiar treasure. And what is a treasure? Something that you have that is extremely important to you. Like if I were to say that my daughter is my treasure, believe me, she's my treasure. But if I say that my God is my peculiar treasure, that means that God is highly elevated above every other treasure that I have on earth. You understand that? Please, put this in your mind, because it is crucial for you to understand it. Actually, the text says it. In Deuteronomy 21, verse 1, it says, "It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken," meaning listen to my voice and obey, "diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee today, this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." One more time. God doesn't say above all nations of the earth. God says above, high above. That means there is no connection. You're not close to that peculiar treasure. You're not close to that nation. You're way apart from that nation. You're not quite the same. You're not similar. You're not close to him, even physically or spiritually speaking. Sister White says somewhere in her writings that Seventh-day Adventism is second to none among the religions. We are superior to all. That's quite a statement. Does she lie? No. We just read it twice in the Bible, and we'll read it again somewhere else in the scriptures. I like New International Version better in this text, which says, "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today," that's me putting then, because there's a condition, "if, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth." I recall you that nations in the context of Israel symbolizes both literal nations and symbolic religions. Nations right here doesn't mean just the Hebrews as a people, physical people, having a tongue, a culture, a territory. God is talking about a nation, a spiritual nation, a church, a congregation, a denomination, a movement, which is us Seventh-day Adventists. God doesn't just say above all nations, as I said. He indeed said high above all nations. That means the Hebrews should be highly elevated, way superior to any other denomination, any other people on earth. Likewise, as Seventh-day Adventists, we need to put that in our mind. I will get back to that. Brothers and sisters, do you understand that? God does not put any of the denominations or religions close to us. They are placed far away from us in God's eyes. He does it that way because we keep his commandments and obey fully his voice. Let me tell you that the Lord was talking to his spiritual people that has never ceased to exist. I'm sorry, there's existed a mistake right here. To exist on the planet Earth. Even when he took that high blessings from the Hebrews, he passed it on to a new nation, which is us. We will see it. When this nation lost her privilege, which is the Hebrew nation, when this nation lost her privilege of being the church or people of God, both their leaders and Jesus said it, that privilege said that privilege was given unto another nation, not state or country, but religion, denomination, as I said earlier, movement. There's just one nation or denomination or church that keeps fully the commands of God. That religion is us, Seventh-day Adventism. But before, it was the Gentiles. the Jews refusing to spread the gospel, then God trusted it to those who were not his people. Then the purpose of the Lord was fulfilled. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 21, verse 40. We're going to see the word of Jesus Christ. I'm just telling you, the Israelites, those that live in Middle East, are not the people of God anymore. Don't forget it. The Hebrews, they're not Hebrew anymore. The Israelites, they call them Israeli, something like that today. They're not people of God anymore. And we will see it. They said it themselves. Jesus said it. And we will read it from the Bible. Okay, Matthew 21 verse 40 said, "When the Lord therefore of the vineyard," this is Jesus talking, "of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen?" That's 21. Husbandmen represent the Israelite people, particularly who? The leaders of the people. "When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen?" The leaders answered to Jesus Christ. They say unto him, unto Jesus Christ, "He will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyards unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season." Now let me say, let out. What does mean let out? Let out means just God will rent, the master of the vineyard will rent his vineyard to other people. Will entrust the vineyard to other people, which is not the Hebrews or the Jews. The Jews have lost the privilege of being God's people since Jesus was right here on earth. We're going to read it. Now, what were the word of Jesus? Verse 44. Verse 44. Matthew 21. What were the word of Jesus Christ? "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you." Did you see that? Jesus said himself to whom? To the Jews, that the kingdom will be taken from them. "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." And we will see that actually they said it themselves. They prophesied about it. And Jesus repeated unto them, letting them know that I will take it away from you. And finally, they will understand it. Verse 45. Finally, the conclusion of Matthew on this topic. "And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them." So do not allow anybody on television saying that we need to build the new temple in Jerusalem because Jesus will come in Jerusalem. The new temple will never be rebuilt. Never. Do not spend your money on Jerusalem. Do not spend your time on Jerusalem. Do not spend your talent in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the temple of Jerusalem, will never be rebuilt. Because the kingdom has been taken away from them. They didn't do according to God's will. There was a time when we were elevated above all nations, all religions. Them all tried to imitate us in almost all aspects. When you said that you were Seventh-day Adventist, you said that with a certain pride. Now, that spiritual pride is being erased, I should say. we are given and what God had said with would bring upon us the high favor above all the other denominations. We try to preach like them, to speak in tongue like them, to dance like them, to eat like them, to drink like them, to dress up like them, like the world, to sing like them, to celebrate pagan holidays like them. There's no more difference between them and us, between the world and us. Above all, we don't keep holy the Sabbath as they don't keep the Sunday Sabbath holy. They work on Sunday, so we do. They go shopping after mass or church services, so we do. They cook, study, watch television shows, etc. on their holiday, so we do. What can we expect from God to put us above them in that condition? Never. However, not all of us do the same thing. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3, verses 4 to 5, to see that not all church members do the same thing. Revelation chapter 3, verses 4 to 5. I have it right here written on the screen. My Bible instructs, there's an S after T. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. That means there are many church members, we don't know what percentage, that do according to God's will, that obey his voice. These people are the ones that have been highly elevated above all nations. Now let's go back to Exodus chapter 19. We're going to read from verse 5. Exodus chapter 19 from verse 5. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Verse 6. That's what we just read, maybe. And Apostle Peter reiterated the same promise that stands still to our day when he exclaimed, saying, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, when God calls us out of the world, out of darkness, he doesn't call us just to call us. He calls us out of the darkness, or out of the other denominations, or out of the world, to do one single thing, to praise his name. How? We're going to see it. Let's go down. I want you to see both contexts in which these verses, these words, were spoken. First, God made the declaration that the Jews would be his people with a condition, that they would obey and hear his voice. That's the first context. You obey my voice, you will be highly elevated. You don't obey my voice, you will be like every common church. That's the reason that you see many people all over the world in our church are doing bad, because we try to look just like them. It says, Let us, they were, let me recall you, the second context was that the Lord recalled them where they were coming from. They were slaves, which symbolizes in 1 Peter sin. Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 and 4, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10 would clarify this. The first one, Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 and 4 says, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. That's Exodus chapter 19, verse 1 and 4. 1 Peter 2, verse 10 says, which is time past, were not a people, but are now a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. If you take a look at those verses, some people were not people of God when? In time past. Now that they accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they become God's people. You're not God's people anywhere. You're not God's people whatever you're doing. You God's people when you do according to his will. Now, it doesn't mean that you cannot sin. You can sin. You will sin all the time. But as Sister Virginia usually say, you're not someone that does not repent. You're a repenting sinner. You ask forgiveness. Now, understand that the Lord doesn't call forth his people out of the world for nothing. As I said, he calls them forth out the world to make them his people. That would signify that to be God's people, you're going to have to leave the world, sin, and the other false Christian denominations to serve the Lord, keeping his law. Revelation 18 verse 4 says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, which is Babylon, my people, that he be not partakers of her sins, and that he receive not her of her plagues. If you God's people, you're going to have to leave Babylon. You're going to have to leave them. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 19. And Moses came, verse 7. Verse 7 says, and Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Moses was kind of like bridge between God and the people. Whenever God says something, he will bring them to the people. Whenever the people say something, he will bring these words to God. Okay, now at that time, the whole people were ready to accept God's conditions in order to become his holy nation. What about us now? Do we want to hear the voice of God to the point that we will become his people? Is God's people eager to listen his voice? Verse 10, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. You can see that I have highlighted in bold certain words. And sanctify them in tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Did you pick it up? Did you see it? When you have to meet the Lord, what you should be doing? Two things. Sanctify yourself and wash your clothes. You don't want to come to church anyhow. You're going to be clean. We will see it. Why do you think that the Lord will come down in the sight of the people? Why? Why do you think that the Lord will come down in the sight of the people? God is about to give them a law through Moses, a law that if they obey, would make of them his peculiar people above all nations. But what specific warning that God sent them? Verse 12. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about. Bounds. Saying, take heed to yourselves, that he go not up into the mountain, or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. Verse 13. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. Wash your clothes. Set bounds as a measure of protection of the people. The mount symbolizes the majesty and power of God. In our mortal and sinful state, we cannot physically approach God. But remember, it was the moment when God will proclaim his law. People needed to understand in what conditions that law will be promulgated. It was a terrible condition that should always be remembered, that even the mount should not be touched. How much more about the law of God, which is the translation of his majestic character? Again, one more time, Moses informed us that effectively the people washed their clothes. Some churchgoers take the bad habit to go meet the Lord with unclean, their everyday clothes or work clothes. I mean, if this is the only one that you have, still you have to prepare it to worship the Lord. Please, don't come to church. Let us not come to church negligently. God would possibly not accept our worship, particularly if we could neatly prepare ourselves before coming. Let me say that if someone has just one remnant, he still can use it to come to church. That was the case of the Israelite. They, T-H-E-Y, they wore one garment and one pair of shoes for 40 years. Jesus as well did not have two garments. He got just one, but they cleansed them up every time. Nowadays, church members don't want bounds. They don't want to be told anything about their wrongdoings. If you do, you're judgmental. Well, the bounds are ordained not by us, leaders of the church, but by God. And the bounds are set to protect everybody from being slain by God. Let's not take this lightly. This is a serious ordeal. If we're not slain today for our trespasses, tomorrow it will be the fire coming from the mouth of God. Folks, let's be watchful. And he said unto the people, verse 15, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives, even coming together to form one flesh, which was not a sin, and still not a sin, was prohibited that day. Now, let's go down to verse 21, 22, 23, maybe. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. Ask them not to come to the mountain to gaze, looking up to see where is that voice coming from, who is talking. They don't want to do that. Ask them, don't do that. Let me read it over. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. This is a warning. And let the priest also, not just the people, the priest should not do that, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. Even the priest would die. Do not try to look at me or to see me. But Moses replied to the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou charged us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. But the Lord knows how stubborn and rebellious that people was, as we are, and pressed unto Moses to go. When he say, away, don't tell me that I have already told you to set bound about the mount. I know that this is a rebellious people. They will come to see anyway. They will try to touch anyway, like Eve. Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. How many times has God to repeat that? It's in 3 times in few verses. Do not try. Do not even think about it. Do not even think about touching the mount where I am standing to speak my laws, my law, particularly the Ten Commandments. The Lord Jesus knew that the same priest would be the ones rebelling against him, Moses and Aaron, murmuring against them. He knew many of them would later ask Aaron to make a golden calf, walking before them as their God. He knew that the Israelites used to take part in some sort in the worship of false gods made of piece of wood or else. He instructed them through Moses not to come nigh and try to gaze upon him, and later would create their own God similar to the true God. From that prohibition, God started giving them warning about the 3 first commandments. The first one, Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Exodus 20, verse 3. This is serious. Now, if I were to ask you, which God is God talking about? Which gods is God, capital G, is talking about? Maybe you would say, those images that Egyptians used to worship as their God. Yeah, this is part of it. But let me go down to our time. Let me read. Jehovah, this is Sister White talking here, in Patriarch and Prophets, page 305, paragraph 4, she said, Jehovah, the eternal self-existent uncreated one, himself the source and sustainer of all, is alone entitled to supreme reverence and worship. Man is forbidden to give to any other object the first place in his affections or his service. Whatever we cherish that tends to lessen our love for God or to interfere with the service due him, of that we do make a God. Let's take, for instance, our cell phones. Who doesn't like it? Who doesn't like his cell phone? I like it. Many times young, even adults, come to church and would not sing. They would not read the Bible. They would not read the spirit of prophecy. They would not pray. They would neither participate in the review of the lesson. They allow their phone to interfere with the worship of God. We just say, Sister White says it, whatever we cherish that tends to lessen our love for God or to interfere with the service due him, of that we do make a God. When we come in church and we allow our cell phone to interfere in our worship, our cell phone becomes what? A God to us. They allow their phone to interfere with the worship of God. They take this precious time to chat with friends, to read or watch on the internet. Brothers and sisters, that's a sin. The first of the Ten Commandments, trespass. Thou shalt not make unto thee, that's the second one, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. Patriarch and Prophet, page 306, paragraph 1 says, the second commandment forbids the worship of the true God by images or similitudes. Many hidden nations claimed that their images were mere figures or symbols by which the deity, God, was worshipped. But God declared such worship to be sin. The attempt to represent the eternal one by material objects would lower man's conception of God. The mind turned away from the infinite perfection of Jehovah would be attracted to the creature rather than to the Creator. And as his conceptions of God were lowered, so would men become degraded. That pagan worship model has been adopted by Catholic Church. They argue not worshiping images, but God through them. Well, the Bible says it's a sin. A final text on this is the fourth commandment, which says, I think everybody, almost everybody knows it by heart, but we're going to read it together. Remember what? Let us read together, please. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it. How? 6 days shall thou labor. Now, 6 days for seven-day Adventists. The first day is one. Is which one? Sunday. The sixth one is which one? Friday. The seventh one is? So if the Bible, 6 days shall thou labor, from which day to which one? From Sunday all the way to Friday. Sunday is the first day of work. We cannot take it as day of rest. You're not even tired. You cannot take it for rest. Come on. You take a rest when you're tired. If the first day is the first day, you not even do anything. You cannot take it as day of rest. But people actually, there are places where Saturday is the first day for some people, for Catholic Church, for Protestant churches. They put it that way to deceive those who don't know their Bible. Verse 10, But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Not the Sabbath of Seventh-day Adventists or the Jews. This is the God's day, not anybody's day. God's day. And when God has something, he has it for his children, humankind. In it thou shalt do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore? Wherefore? You're not following me. Wherefore what? The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. This day is a blessed day, a holy day that God has put apart for a sacred what? Purpose. Now, what have you seen in this? It says, you, father or mother, you should act the way that anybody in your house should keep this day sacred. If you're Seventh-day Adventist and your mom is not Seventh-day Adventist, she's going to have to keep it holy. If you're Seventh-day Adventist, this is your house, your dad come over to sleep even for one night, and that night is Friday night, your dad going to have to keep Saturday holy. No matter who comes into your house, your son, your brother, a friend, you come over, please help me keep this day holy. That's what the Bible says. It says, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, etc. We're going to read those two. I'm going to read fast. Not this paragraph, but the last one to finish. God has given men, this is Sister White speaking right here. God has given men 6 days wherein to labor. 6 days. And he requires that their own work be done in the 6 working days. Acts of necessity and mercy are permitted on the Sabbath. The sick and suffering are at all times to be cared for. But unnecessary labor is to be strictly avoided. Turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath, this is the Bible too, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure. Isaiah 58 verse 13. Nor does the prohibition end here. Nor speaking thine own words, say the prophet. You cannot say whatever you want to say this day. You cannot talk about your work. How has been your work this week? It's been good. I've got some problem with some coworker. They asked me to do this or that. You're talking all about it. Not speaking thy own words, saith the prophet. Those who discuss business matters or lay plans on the Sabbath are regarded by God as though engaged in the actual transaction of business. To keep the Sabbath holy, we should not even allow our minds to dwell upon things of a worldly character. To keep the Sabbath holy, we should not even allow our minds to dwell upon things of a worldly character. And the commandment includes all within our gates. The inmates of the house are to lay aside their worldly business during the sacred hours. All should unite to honor God by willing service upon his holy day. Last verse. I'm not going to read it all. But if you read it, you will see that you cannot cook this day. Do your food. even for potluck. You cannot cook this day. You cannot seethe. S-E-E-T-H-E. Cook everything on Friday before sunset and bring them unto the Lord, and God will accept them. Exodus chapter 16. I'm not going to read it, but please read it. God says, no, don't do that. Cook whatever you have to cook. Seethe whatever you have to seethe. And leave anything for tomorrow. Let me read just this verse. It says, chapter 16, verse. And Moses says, verse 22. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the day, of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today. Verse 23, Exodus chapter 16. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that he will seethe, and that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is the Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. Brothers and sisters, we want to be the holy people of God, because God has given us a holy law, because God is holy. Let us keep the Ten Commandments holy. Let us be a peculiar people unto the Lord, keeping his law and obeying his voice. Then we will be that peculiar people. When he comes back, every one of us will be saved into his kingdom. My last question, is there anybody who want to be part of that peculiar people that God has chosen? If you want to be, raise your hands, please. Part of that peculiar people that God wants to be his people. Thank you. If you want to do that, stand to your feet and we're going to pray. Just for one few seconds. Stand to your feet. We want to pray to be that people that God has chosen to be his, a peculiar people, a chosen generation, a holy nation. Let me pray. God, we thank you for this message, recalling us that you have chosen us to be your peculiar people with one condition, that we would obey your voice. We would keep your commandment. Please, as I ask to everybody to raise their hands, if they want to be part of this nation, they all rose their hand. I pray that you would bless them. Bless us the way that we have never been, so that we can be a light shining in the world, bringing people captive to you for their salvation. Bless your church, this church, and all over the world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.